I just want to welcome again and invite Stan to come and minister. My good friend and my pastor, Stan Setliff.
Praise the Lord. Well, that was a roaring of praise. Y'all excite me. You know, I think I said praise the Lord. If you don't have any in you, then we might have to continue for a while until you get some in you.
Yes.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Praise be to our God.
I don't know how you could feel unimportant with a song we just sung.
Amen.
That while he was being crucified, he thought of you. Actually, that's not theologically correct. While he was being beaten, when salvation for you and I was truly accomplished, he thought of me.
Yes.
He thought of me before that time and did that for me.
Yes.
Right?
Amen.
If we weren't a passing thought to Jesus, we are not a passing thought to Jesus. We use that word think. He thought of me as a little loose. That was the plan.
Amen.
I was the plan. You were the plan.
Amen.
You are why he did it. You. And the next person that comes through that door, even if they're a dirty, rotten sinner, and they look like they shouldn't be here, they were God's plan.
Yes.
Amen? Amen? We appreciate the time to minister, and we always get ministered to. We need to remember that's the way it works. We need to remember that way because when we fellowship with God, he gets thoughts about us.
Yes.
He gets thoughts about us. I don't know why it works that way, but it does. You know, we live in a world that's just as goofy as it can be. I'm thankful that we have a master.
Yes.
It's not goofy. You know, you made that announcement. What's that? All righty. You made the announcement a while ago about Colfax being closed a couple of Sundays from now. Is that better? Okay. And I got to thinking, let me get this fixed. There we go. I got to thinking that, you know, we pay license taxes and inspection taxes and sales taxes on your vehicle and more taxes than you can, that you even want to think about. Gas taxes for the highways. And then we shut the whole thing down for somebody that doesn't pay one bit of tax at all. And we think that's righteous because some nitwit said, let's do it. We pour sidewalks and pay high taxes so they can walk and run on it, and then we close the highways. This is the government that we serve, or that serves us, supposedly. Why aren't we smart enough to put our faith and trust and hope into a lot higher executive?
Amen.
We might not be disappointed as much. Okay. Let's pause for a second and pray. Father, we thank you for the time. I thank you for your people. I ask you to anoint me to give your words, anoint their ears to hear your words, and at the end of this session, they will be changed, I will be changed, the world will be changed, because we hesitated, paused, and yearned to listen and hear from you. Thank you for your people. Thank you for your plan. We now follow that plan in Jesus' name.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Now, Connie here ministered here Wednesday night on Believe. There was one person that was listening. Oh, okay. And I'm going to continue in that vein. I think I always do, but I think I'm going to emphasize it a little more. If you've not had this thought before, I'm going to lay it out, then we'll study it. Are you a believer? And is there enough proof to convict you of believing? Is there enough proof to convict you of believing? And if it works in your direction, it'll work the other way too.
Amen.
If you will do what God asks you to do, there will be people changed by you.
Yes.
I promise
yes.
you. That's what the plan of God is.
Yes.
That he didn't just pick one special person to minister.
Right.
It doesn't happen. He picks everybody and some people follow. Okay. Will you be gracious enough to allow me to go ahead and minister this morning? Okay, and I promise you, I'll be ministering to you whether I call your name or not. All righty. Thank you. I want to give you a description of a believer. It's in Mark 16, 15 through 18. And this is a heavy, hard one. And it's the one. It's the one. This is a description of the believer. Mark 16, 15 through 18. And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Now, that's not the description. That's the orders. In verse 16, it says, he who believes and is baptized will be saved. Who's going to be saved? Okay, let's remember this. We have two things happened here, and we need to get them in order. Number one, we are to preach the gospel. The gospel is the good news. What's the good news? Jesus Christ, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. What everybody needs, salvation, right? Our orders, everyone in here, is to let that go out. Okay, what's number two? 16. And he who believes is baptized and is baptized will be saved. But he who does not believe will be condemned. That's not our job. Our job is to deliver the good news, love those people like God does, and don't be the conviction. Don't be the pressure that says, you're not saved yet, we're going to try again. It says, those that will believe will be saved. The reason I want you to do that is because I guarantee you, if you get all fired up and you decide, I'm going to witness to this person today, you're also already expecting them to be saved. That's fine, but don't be disappointed if they're not. Because it says those who believe will be saved, and those who don't will be condemned. Now, here's the description of a believer here, verse 17. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. And if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover.
Amen.
I got one amen out of that, and it's prejudice. And I appreciate it. Maybe we don't want to fit that description. But I will say this. If signs don't follow you, you're not a believer. Well, I don't have to say that. The Bible just said it to you. The only way you're going to ever believe is to believe. And the way you stay believing is that you will cast out demons. Your language will change. Your thought process will change. Your feelings will change. And you're not afraid of snakes and spiders.
Amen.
You're not afraid of threats. You're not afraid of dying because you forgot to wash your hands a minute ago. You're not afraid that the swine flu is going to take you. In fact, you don't walk in fear if you believe.
That's right.
Amen.
That's right.
And because of this, you're not afraid to lay hands on somebody else and watch them recover. That's the description of a believer. They don't walk in fear, and because they don't walk in fear, they minister.
Yes.
They're not afraid to minister, because what happens if I lay on my hands on that person and they don't recover? The same thing as if they don't believe. It's none of your business. Your job, your description is, you can't help it, is that you want to minister to people. You're not in charge of the outcome.
That's right.
But you are in charge of laying hands on.
Yes.
Believing. That's where laying hands on comes from. You must believe that you have the ability. Well, I just told you, you have the order. And if God gave you the order, you think He'll give you the ability?
Absolutely.
Even our government is not smart enough, not dumb enough, to call a soldier and tell him to go out and fight somebody and not give him the weapons to fight. Surely you know God is smarter and better than our government. Now, to believe includes the word faith, because you don't believe in anything unless you have faith in that. It's to entrust, to commit everything to trust. It's not only a heavy persuasion, it's a moral conviction. That's what I want to lay on you this morning. is that believing is a moral conviction. What does that mean? Well, one thing is I'll just do what an English teacher says never to do. I am convicted of not doing what God has asked me to do. I suffer conviction for that. If my faith and my belief system is correct, the Holy Spirit will convict me when I don't believe it.
Amen.
When I'm not operating in it. I want to start this morning with a personal testimony. A personal testimony. And I'm going to say, let's see when this... On about the middle of January, I was asleep, and it was about 3:30 in the morning. I have a little clock that shines the light on the roof, so I always know what time it is. I was awakened from a sound sleep with a tremendous pain in my chest, the type that makes it where you can't breathe. It's a flood that overtakes you. And I knew at that moment that I was not being offered life. I was being offered death. Do you know every day you're offered death?
Yes. Yes.
Sometimes it's more poignant than others. I was hot and I was cold at the same time. I was sweating and I was clammy and I was in trouble. Now, I've had a lot of attacks and they've been at night. And that's when the enemy likes to try to get you, is when you feel like you're alone and weak and all that. He's full of baloney. Now, my normal procedure, anytime there's a worry or an attack, is I just reach over and shake my wife and say, let's pray. She doesn't bother about asking me about what. She just begins to pray. If we have the answer, we don't even need to know the question.
Amen.
Remember that when you're trying to pray. Don't worry about what you're praying about. Just pray. Praying in this case would be to take dominion. You don't pray as a beggar. You pray as one that's is the head and not the tail. And she does that very well. And we pray until the symptoms go away, and then we go back to sleep. It always works. It always will work.
Yes.
Amen. I have faith, and I believe that. It was different. It was different this time. The normal threats of death and destruction were coming, but every negative thought came. There came followed a reminder by the Holy Spirit of Scripture, or from the lion and the bear, something that's happened in the past. One of the things that I was reminded of is that I'm created in God's likeness and image. Now, God's been very faithful to remind me of that in the last few months. Now, what does that mean to you and I? Well, I'll tell you what it means. It means that I can have a heart attack when he does. And I don't have the right or the permission to have it any other time. Now, I don't think y'all caught that, because you're just sitting there like, what? So I'm going to say it again. I'm created in God's likeness and image, not a doctor's description likeness and image. I have his mind, I can have his heart.
Amen.
I do. If he's going to use me, he's got to keep it pumping. That's his problem.
Yep.
So I can have a heart attack when he does. Or I don't have the permission to have one unless he does.
Amen.
Now, if you don't think that won't help you, you just keep that in your mind. You keep that little description in your mind. Your normal thoughts. Do you know you have a normal mind, which means a flesh mind?
Yes.
And your flesh mind is going to tell you what's wrong and what to do.
Yeah.
And without some scripture, without belief, without faith, you're going to do it. And it'll be wrong every time.
Yes.
Can I tell you again? Anything you can think of is wrong.
Yes.
Y'all don't like that one either, huh? Do I need to keep repeating until y'all get a little agreement? Anything you can think of is flesh and it's wrong.
Yes.
Don't even trust your own mind.
Yeah.
You've got to replace it, renew it, refresh it, wash it with word.
Yes.
Until you just don't even, the thoughts that come, you don't even consider them. You laugh at them. You think, well, that was dumb. About your own thoughts.
Yeah.
Now, what are my normal thoughts at this time? Well, my practice had been, wake up, Connie. Well, let's pray this out. And that didn't fit. This is one of the times that didn't fit. Let her sleep. So I'm getting orders from somewhere else. That's not my way. It has to be God's way.
Yes.
All right, your next thought. Well, I better call somebody that's close in the church, friends, long distance. Anybody that will read me scripture, will pray correctly, will build my faith. That didn't work. I was not to do that. God said, no, you don't need to do that. You know, it is so cool when you're in trouble and you want to do what you want to do, and God says, you don't need to do that. That's just outstanding. And that's what I was hearing. Now, here's what really is the truth. God saw this before I was born, and he saw it in his bruises and stripes, and he took care of it.
Yes.
Now, if you don't believe that, you're in trouble, because then you can't believe you're saved. Maybe it's why so many people have trouble being saved, because they don't truly believe that God could see this, what you did, and forgive you. He saw what a potential problem was in my fleshly body, and he took it before the cross.
Yes.
When they were beating him before he was put on the cross, he took care of it. Do I need to remind you of that? Patrick, can you put up Isaiah 53:5? And everybody in this whole world better learn this scripture. It is your command. It is your order. It is the description of what Jesus did and when he did it.
Yeah.
Am I messing you up? Okay. I'm going to wait on it. It's too important. I saw the look in your eyes. I want you to understand. Who wants to read it?
But he was wounded for our transgressions.
Wait a minute. Let's take this step at a time. When was he wounded? Before the cross, right? He was so wounded before the cross, he didn't even feel the nails go in his hand. You know what I'm talking about? Sometimes you can hurt so bad you don't feel the next hurt.
Amen.
All right, he was wounded for what reason?
Our transgression.
What is a transgression?
A sin, a disobedience.
Okay. That's before the cross.
Yes.
He was bruised for our iniquities. What is iniquity? Huh? Missing the mark. It's not really a sin because I didn't know. That's stuff that I'm doing wrong that I didn't even know I was doing wrong. He took care of what I didn't even know I was doing wrong before I figured out it was wrong. Not just the sin that I knew I was doing wrong, but the stuff that I didn't know I was doing wrong. He forgave me right there, took care of it. What else? The chastisement of our peace was upon him. What does that mean? Did you know peace costs? If you don't believe so, ask a soldier. Let's just say it more correctly. The payment or the cost to give me peace was on his shoulders. It was on him, right? It was what was the cost?
Stripes.
He took a lot of beatings. And by his stripes we are what?
Healed.
And where did this happen? I'm not putting down the cross. The cross is where he paid the legal fee. That's where he paid the legal fee. The love fee was paid right here.
Yes. Yes.
That's good. I like that. I hadn't thought about that before. This was the legal fee. This was the love fee. He saw what you were going to do wrong. He saw what you were going to do wrong, and you didn't even know you were going to do wrong. He saw that you needed peace and provided. And then he saw the flaws in our very physical being. Right there, the last part. And he said, I'm taking care of that too. Okay? Now, do we have the right to believe this?
Yes.
Okay, let me say it another way. Do we have the command to believe this?
Yes.
If I would not believe this, then I am insulting Jesus.
Yes.
He did this for nothing. I'm not even, he was man enough to do it for me. I'm not even man enough to believe it. Okay, now I'm going to go back to my description. Call all these people, get them to believe with you. You get desperate, right? And because I'm hurting. I know I'm hurting. I know I'm in trouble. God told me, don't call anybody. Now, I've got one or two things to believe here. Either it's my time to go, or it's my time to get healed a different way than I normally operate. And I'm not going to agree with it. It's my time to go. I still got things to do.
Amen.
So I said, okay. So I just quoted scripture, sang songs, whatever needed to be done, I could accomplish. I don't know how long this went on. I really don't know. I wasn't watching the clock. You know, certain times, clocks are not important.
Amen.
It could have been an hour. It could have been 2 hours. I don't really know. But the next thing that happened as I'm, and you know what this is, it's called spiritual warfare.
Yes.
Or when you've done all you can do to stand, stand.
Yeah.
Just stand, fight. And the next thing I know, I heard God say, why don't you just roll over there? My wife's got her back to me, so we're going to spoon. Roll over there and give her a hug. Go to, he didn't say go to sleep, he just roll over there and give her a hug. So I rolled over there and gave her a hug and instantly went to sleep. I don't even remember giving her the hug. It was so quick. Now, this is a guy that thinks he's dying of a heart attack. And I just went to sleep. Boom. Now, the next thing I know, it's morning. I don't move. I don't wake. I don't have aftershocks. And I was happy as if I had good sense. I was full of joy. I could have chosen to believe I was dying and call 911. Do you understand when you call 911, you are believing you are in trouble? Well, my body told me I was in trouble. My God told me I wasn't.
Amen.
Now choose this day. Believe this day. What are you going to believe this day? What are you going to choose to believe this day? If you look at your checkbook, what are you going to choose to believe this day? If you got your best friend that's telling you you're a moron, what are you going to choose to believe this day? If the whole world tells you that you got to dial 911, what are you going to believe this day? 911, Psalms 91:1?
Yes.
Or
yes.
Your telephone?
Mm-hmm.
We spend too much time trying to believe what we might suffer instead of believing what he suffered. Come on, that's an amen or that's an oh me or something, but don't just stand there. There is no truth other than God's truth.
That's right.
You must believe this if you're going to be a child of God.
Amen.
There is no other truth except God's truth.
That's right.
And God's truth covers everything in our life.
That's right.
He didn't miss anything.
That's right.
I don't know why we think that God can heal except for heart attacks. Our God can heal except for strokes. Our God can heal except for cancer. How did we get so dumb? Somebody taught us, or we allowed us ourselves to be taught. Does anybody in this place have any faith in God?
Yes.
You don't feel like it. What I want to tell you today is what God is asking from us. For what he did. You understand? All I can see is that, and I told you this last Sunday, all I can see is that vision that God showed me of Jesus getting beat for me. So when I do that, you'll know what I'm talking about. I can either believe that he did it, and then I must believe, if he did it, that he did enough.
Yes.
Or I must believe he didn't do enough, or he didn't do it. Or it was worthless.
Yeah.
Now, my mouth is not going to determine whether I believe or not. Only my actions are.
Yes.
These signs shall follow those that believe. In other words, if I confess that I believe, then signs will follow. They will show what I believe.
Amen.
God's asking us to show. He wants us to move away from a Santa Claus doctrine.
Mm-hmm.
You know what that is? I can ask. And I can get anything I ask, because that's just the way it works. You know, even Santa Claus, when you sing about that, he determines who's naughty and nice. If we're going to have a Santa Claus doctrine, let's at least get it that sometimes somebody knows where we're naughty and nice. And we might not get what we ask for if we're naughty.
Yes.
Let's give up that doctrine. Jesus saw it already, saw our whole lives. He knew we were going to be naughty, and he paid the price anyway. And no more Jesus is on the main line telling him what you want. Dumbest song in the whole world. Please get some things out of your vocabulary. Don't tell God anything except that you love him and you trust him. Let him do the telling.
Yes.
Too many times we turn our prayer sessions into, I'm going to tell God what's wrong. Oh, you dummies. Don't you think he knows?
Yes.
Then why don't we get so smart that we just shut up and let him tell us what we need to do?
Amen.
When they asked Jesus how to pray, he told you how to pray. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name, not my speech. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. No, I've got to tell him not only sometimes what's wrong, but how to fix it. Come on, analyze your own prayers. We fall in those traps. We tell him what we want and how he should do it. And then we believe that he's going to do it that way. That is the real dumb thing. Can I tell you something? God will never do anything the way you want him to do it.
Amen.
He's going to keep your apple cart upside down, so you'll just have to learn to trust.
Yeah.
Amen.
If he did everything you ask, you wouldn't have to trust.
That's right.
He knows what's best, and he knows how to do it best. We need to believe beyond a shadow of a doubt that God wants good for us.
That's right.
You believe that, Gene?
Then
all we have to do is agree that whatever's happening is best. Now that's a tough one. That's the tough one. I'm telling you what happened to me in the middle of the night because it was best for me. That you don't think that built my faith? I read you scripture last Sunday that said, without faith, it is impossible to please God. So let's go one step further. Without you getting in trouble and believing God, it is impossible to believe God. And it's impossible to please him. What are you telling me, Stan? You telling me my problems are pleasing to God? Yes, if you operate in faith. Because he just found out, or he just saw that you grew. Is he worried that it might have taken you a little pain or discomfort to grow? No. You're not worried about that. He planned it. You know, my son, when he was, what did we decide, about 12 years old when he grew so much?
Yeah.
My son was about 12 when we got married. And so we went down to the tuxedo shop and got me all fixed up for tux rental. Isn't that right? How in the world did you talk me into getting a tux? I'm not too sure we were really married. You talked me into that. Anyway, my son was going to have a tux, and so we said, measure him. And they told me, no, we're not going to measure him. Why? Well, because he'll grow. Oh, I know he'll grow, but he don't grow that much. So they said, okay, what we're going to do is we're going to measure him, but we're not going to fix his pants. Okay. He said, you got to come back 2 days before the wedding so we can measure him. So I had to measure him, and they wrote it down. 2 days before the wedding, I think, something like that. They measured him, and he'd grown, how many say it?
4 inches.
In 1 month. Less than that. Less than the full month. He grew. His legs grew 4 inches, Bill. Do you think that hurt?
Oh, yeah.
But it was growth.
Yes.
It was growth. And evidently, God decided he wanted him taller, and it was time to grow. Now, why do we resist the pain of growth? Why do I have to look at a pain in the middle of the night as something that's bad? Now, am I asking for more? No. But God will give me more, but he'll do it in the way he wants.
Amen.
I'm not going to say, God, that was so good, let's do it again.
Amen.
How do we get so smart and so dumb at the same time? I want to grow, do you?
Yes.
And I want him to grow me, do you? So I'm willing to put up with a little whatever to grow. John chapter 14, verse 12. 12 through 15. Most assuredly. Now this is Jesus talking. And when Jesus says, I'm pretty sure, he means it. Most assuredly, I say to you, He who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these he will do, because I go to the Father. Now, if you'd have been there, you'd have cried like crazy that Jesus died. Right? And he told them beforehand, if I don't do this, you can't do the works that I do, and you can't do more because I don't go to the Father. He said, he who believes in me, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these he will do because I go to my Father. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do. How many of you believe that you can ask in Jesus' name and it'll be done? You know what fouls us up? Telling him how to do it. Because then we get to believing that he's going to do it the way we told him to do it. And I promise you, just like no man knows the day nor the hour when I come, no man knows how Jesus is going to do it. But I believe he'll do it. I prayed this morning that you guys would be changed and the community would be changed. And I believe, I have asked in Jesus' name, and I believe he will do it. But I didn't tell him how to do it, because that's just dumb. And whatever you ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. So you understand, the plan is not about you, and it's not about healing somebody. It's about glorifying the Father. So the reason you pray, lay hands on the sick and they recover, you pray and it'll be done, you ask and it'll be done, is to glorify the Father.
Yes.
Whose idea was it?
Yes.
What for? So he can be glorified. So it is not your plan, and you don't have to make it happen.
That's right.
No, let me say that different. And you will not allowed to be, not allowed to make it happen. Because the minute you make it happen, God leaves. It's your show. Isn't that right? And the minute I say, like the little kids that you mentioned again,
amen.
And then they go play. When are we going to be learn? When are we going to learn to say, and shut up. Don't try to make it happen. Don't say, is your head feeling better? Are you feeling better? You got the promise they're going to do better.
Right.
Don't ask. Just know that they're going to feel better. Well, that seems a little cold. No, that seems a little true.
Yeah.
Yes, amen.
Cold or hot is not even in the formula. Verse 14, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. That seems like a big step. Mm-mm. You need to remember something, that the King James translators misused this. When they said in my name, they were not talking about you calling the name of Jesus. They were talking about the character of Jesus. If you ask anything that relates or fits into my character, I'll do it. What do you mean by that, Stan? Well, I know a lot of men that are named Jesus. You know any? Sometimes they call it Jesus, sometimes they call it Jesus. Doesn't make any difference. There's a lot of people out there. So the name, by the way, God named what we call Jesus Emmanuel. We're the ones that have turned it in to this powerful noun, not a verb, a noun called Jesus. See, what we're supposed to do is think of Jesus as Emmanuel. Come on. Now, if you'll think about this, God with us. I'm going to pray for Bill here because God is with us.
Amen.
Do you think I'll pray that he dies?
No.
Well, that's what this is meaning. If you will ask in my who I am. I'm the healer. I'm the life giver. I'm the lover. I'm the forgiver. If you always keep that in mind, you'll pray correctly. But I remember right in the middle of one of our church services one time, a man stood up and said, I want you to pray for Ron. He had a heart attack, and I want you to pray that he dies, because if he don't die, I'm going to kill him. Some of y'all remember that? That was not in Jesus' name. You don't believe that. Oh, you better. It was true. If you don't think that'll take the wind out of your sails and where you're the preacher, it will. It will. It'll make you trust that somebody up there is bigger in charge of this than you are.
Yes, amen.
And my belief paid off. I mean, the room was, I had people come that was in the hotel. They told me after church, I'd have bought airline tickets and flown here to see this service. That's what God can do if you'll trust him.
Yes.
Now, verse 14 says, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, keep my commandments. So there's a catch to this thing, isn't there? You're going to be a disciple of Christ, or you won't lay hands on people and they won't recover, because you're not really believing. Do you know you follow what you believe?
Yeah.
If you believe you're a diabetic, you will be a diabetic. If you believe that you eat sugar, you'll die, you'll die. If you believe I'm healed, then I will be healed. I am healed. See, I just screwed it up again. I am healed, not will be.
That's right.
Yeah. You know, I'll give you an example. I've got a cousin named Jerry. He's probably been a hardcore. He carries the little pins all the time full of insulin. And he's so good at being a diabetic that he never checks his blood sugar. He just knows by the feeling what he needs. And he'll sit at the table with you and he'll pull out one and he'll dial this in through his jeans. It goes in, he pull out the other one, dial it up, pull it through his jeans, and now he's through. That's the only way he ever operates. He has faith in his diabetes and what he can do about that diabetes. Come on, you may not like the way I described it, but that's the truth. He had open heart surgery. Went to the Mayo Clinic. They kept him there for 6 weeks after the surgery. 6 weeks. Well, what they did is, now I missed one thing. He'd been a diabetic ever since he was, well, let's just say about 35 years. So this was not a new thing to him. The Mayo Clinic would not let him eat what he wanted and would not let him eat when he wanted. And after 6 weeks, he was no longer a diabetic. Because he ate what was right. He got well. He went back home. He started eating the way he liked to eat. Now he's a diabetic again. Are you seeing how I'm relating this to the scripture? If you do what's right, you're going to be totally whole. And what you ask for, you're going to get. And if you don't look at it like that, it's not going to work for you. It's only truth. Why wouldn't you believe it? Are you telling me that diabetics are diabetics because of the way they eat? I'm not telling you squat. I'm telling you this. You don't want to be a diabetic? Do what's right. Will it work? I don't know. Is Jesus a liar? Hey, I'm a little harsher now than I used to be. Am I? Now, let's look at this correctly. When he says, the things that I did, you'll do also. The works that I did. But notice he used the... Go back to verse 12 again. If you can do that, Patrick. I say to you, believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. The works. Is Jesus telling you he had to work at this? That means it all didn't come on a nice silver platter for him. He had to believe. He had to talk right and he had to walk right. Are you telling me this is a salvation of works? No. I'm telling you it's a working to believe and doing it correctly. Doing the best you know how. That's all God asks, the best you know how. So the works, let's talk about it just for a second. Jesus did all kinds of works, and that you'll do even also. Okay, that means you're going to do miracles, right? Okay. You're going to walk on water, right? Okay. You're going to fight some storms then, right? There are going to be some storms that you're in that you're going to have to speak to. That's what Jesus did, right? Okay. That means you're going to have to sweat some blood sometimes. We only want to believe the spectacular. We don't want to believe what Jesus did sometimes in the back room alone. But that's required also. How about taking some stripes for other people? Going to have to do that? See, you're not going to be able to take the scripture as you will. You're going to take it all or you're not going to have any of it. You're going to have to be willing to lay your life down. Greater love hath no man than. What does it say? Lay down his life for his friends, like Jesus did. Wow. That means they're going to strike out at you. They're going to do you wrong. They're going to say some dumb things, and you don't have the right to get mad and strike back. In fact, you take them because that's best for them. Just take the stripes. If the opportunity is given, you minister to them. Fight the good fight of faith means fight. Mm-hmm. It don't mean wish.
Right.
How many times a day? Well, you know my answer to you. Not any more than 70 times 7. You're not going to expect blessings with no fight investment. You can write that formula down if you want. You're not going to get blessings without a fight investment. You still want to be a believer?
Yes.
Right now, I'll show you this. Right now, we have a president. We have someone in an office that was elected. Not a president. He just called that. I don't know how we could be so stupid to vote for somebody that never worked a day in his life, never earned a dollar, never ran a business, never produced anything. And then we ask him to be the president of the United States. We're the idiots. We have no right to put that on him. So when you get in trouble, you need help. Don't ask the most immature, inexperienced person in the world to help you. Just because they can fog a mirror doesn't mean they can believe or pray. Now, I'll say this to you. Be cautious who you want to come into agreement with. Be cautious. Because they may not have the faith to fight, the belief to help you fight. What does help you fight mean? That means when they see something go wrong in your life, they quit. Because they just get discouraged. Huh, this didn't work. Whoa, listen to me. Why do we spend so much time looking at how something's going to work or making it work when right here, Jesus already worked it? Where's my faith in what I can do or what he did? So I shouldn't have to try to make something work. Right? I should believe I'm just doing what he's already done. I'm coming into agreement with what he's already fixed. When I was suffering with chest pains, he'd seen it. He took it upon himself. He paid the price. I am healed. All I have to do is come into agreement with that. I don't have to fight for it. I don't have to earn it. I have to believe it. And stay away from people, places, and things that would trip me up in my belief system. Jesus, to his best friend, don't ever forget this, went to his best friend when his best friend said something wrong. He said, "Get behind me, Satan." Now here's my best friend. Right here. I'm going to do the works that Jesus did. You know, I'm obligated to look at her if she says something. I did this recent. I didn't call her Satan, but I'm going to tell you what I did. I said, "Do you ever talk to me like that again? You're going to live alone." Because that was life and death stuff that she made a mistake with. Do you understand? I don't walk up. I alluded to this with the leg blown off. But I don't walk up to Bill and say, "Oh my God, Bill, you're looking terrible." Bill needs to look at me and say, "Get behind me, Satan." And if I can't do it at home, the Bible says that I am not allowed to do it in church. If I can't rule my house, you can't rule in this church. Maybe that's why we got so many stinking weak churches. Because there's no man that will stand up against his own wife. Do you know if I can't stand up against her, who do you think I'm going to, who's going to win if I try to stand up against the devil?
Yeah.
If I don't have enough authority to take dominion over myself, then how am I going to win against the enemy? This is myself right here. This is myself.
Yeah.
Yeah. All she did was say something. It was not even that important. But what it did is attack my faith. So this is myself. I allowed there was a war all of a sudden instantly inside of me. Well, first off, don't ever say that again. Then I stop that. And then I say to myself, don't ever hear that again. I had somebody put a blood, this is many years ago, put a sphygmometer, you know, a blood pressure tester on my arm. And they pumped it up and they read it and it scared them to death. And when they got scared, I got scared. I reached over and grabbed that thing and threw it across the room. And I said, don't you ever put that on me again. Why? Because it attacked my faith. Yeah. Well, you're crazy, Stan. Uh-huh. If Jesus was crazy, I was crazy. Jesus looked at dead people and said, get up from there. Quit being lazy. And there's people around saying, he's crazy. But the dead person got up. Yeah. So they changed their story. I think I like him.
Amen.
I might die one day.
Amen.
There's no testimony without a victory, and there's no victory without a fight. You know what we, and you'll excuse me. It's the same thing no matter what we're talking about. But there is not absolutely one fight in running to a doctor and saying, "Heal me." Can you explain to me how that's a fight? This is the time you can talk if you want to. You know what? If I say, Bill, I'm going to trust you to heal me, I have no faith except that I'm in trouble. Because he's no better than me. He's no stronger. He doesn't know a whole lot more than me. And to go to a doctor and say, well, I'm going to them because they're so smart. They're smart in man's knowledge. And if you want me to say praise God for them, okay, praise God for them. But they're not my source.
Yes.
My decision is they're not my source. I think I shared, maybe I did or didn't. The last time I was up here, I had dinner with my brother, and he's heavy into medical stuff. He believes in all that. And he said, I told him, he said, you need to take aspirin. I don't know what that was about. I don't even remember what it was about. You need to take aspirin. And I said, I can't. Well, why can't you? I said, because I will bleed. It causes me to bleed. See, I have a lot of proof that I need to believe God. Y'all got any? If I've got diabetes, I have proof that I need to believe God. If I have a sickness or a disease or a situation, a problem, I have proof that I need to believe God.
Yes.
I don't have proof that I need to believe a man. And he said, you know, Dad died of stomach cancer. Well, that's a new one on me. Did you, when Dad was dying, did you ever hear he died of stomach cancer? Not one time. And all of a sudden in his mind, he said, and you know what, that's a sign that you might have that. Satan?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Amen.
That's a sign. If I can't take an aspirin, that's a sign I don't need to be taking aspirin. Boy, that's too simple. And ever since I made that decision, I don't have any reason to take aspirin. That's every situation, every problem in life is that same thing. Let me give you the truth about believing, about faith. Believing in faith is not believing in faith unless that's all you're holding on to.
Yes.
You understand what I just said?
Yes.
You can't define it as faith or believing if you've got a hold of something else.
That's
just life then. It's kind of like getting up and saying, I'm going to get up in the morning, I'm going to believe I get breakfast. Now, for I don't know how many years, my wife gets up every morning and fixes me breakfast. So it didn't take a lot of faith to say, I think tomorrow I'm going to believe that I'm going to get breakfast. I'm going to believe that something's wrong if I don't get breakfast. Believing is this: I'm healthy tomorrow. Today, tomorrow, the next day. I don't need to worry about that. I'm healthy. Well, Stan, what if it begins to look like you're not healthy? I will believe that I'm healthy. Because what I saw Jesus do for me, it's impossible for any sickness, any disease to get through what I saw.
Right. Yes.
All I've got to do is believe. Mark 9, verse 20 through 27. What are some of the things that causes us to have to believe? The best one is there's no other way. Desperation. All right. Mark chapter 9, verse 20 through 27. Then they brought him to Jesus. And when he saw him, this is a young man, the little boy that's being tormented, immediately the spirit convulsed him. Can I show you something here? This is a little boy that's being tormented from childhood. It's more than a little boy. It's a man, but it's his son. Look what happens in the first verse. They decided to do something more than they had already done. They said, we've done all we can do, and there's no hope. But I hear about a man that says there's hope. Now, all they did was put him in the same room with Jesus. And what happened? What does it say? They convulsed. The spirit convulsed. Do you think the spirit was smarter than most people?
Yes.
He's saying, I'm in trouble. I better get busy. I'm fixing to lose ground here. So what are we saying to each other? We're saying to each other right here, about the time you decide to believe God, your trouble begins. Your problems are going to convulse. They're going to try to convince you that there's no hope when hope is looking them in the face. The reason the problems get bigger is because those problems know they're fixing to get killed.
Amen.
So why should we back up? Well, I can't do this route. It's getting worse. Yay! Stan, you are crazy. Yes. They convulsed him, fell on the ground, and wallowed, foaming at the mouth. Well, boy, that paid to come bring him to Jesus, didn't it? Look at him down there foaming and wallowing. And did I do what was right? Ask yourself, and did this man do what was right?
Absolutely.
And everything's going wrong.
By the appearance.
No, by the appearance, that's right. But what we're seeing is there is something in him that says, if I don't get busy, I'm gone.
Amen.
So don't get discouraged when problems look like they get worse. Actually, that's the way it's supposed to be. The enemy's going to try one more time, two more times, whatever. Verse 21. So Jesus asked his father, how long has this been happening to him? Now Jesus already knew that, but he asked him anyway. And he said, from childhood. Now why did he need to know that? The man needed to remember that this can't be done by any way except God. And often, verse 22, he has thrown him both into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Isn't that cool? What a prayer. If you can do this, please help. And Jesus said, if I can do this. Verse 23, Jesus said to him, if you can believe. Now this is the example that you and I need to understand. When we go to Jesus and ask him, he said he's already told us that we'll have what we ask. Did he not tell us that? We read it this morning. What is Jesus' answer to us when we go to him and ask him for something? If you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. What did Jesus do? He put it back on his shoulders. He's the same yesterday and today and forever. If I ask him for something, he's going to put it on my shoulders. If you can believe, you got it. I first must believe that he's already done it. And then I must believe that the evidence will be revealed right now. Not an immediate word. I mean, now I'm healed. Now the problem's answered. I'm just going to wait to see. But it's already done. It's already done.
Amen.
I just believe it's already done.
Amen.
Verse 24, immediately the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. Now this is, I believe this is the most amazing scripture in the entire Bible. This man was desperate. Don't you think he'd tried everything already? So he's bringing Jesus as a he's bringing him in the picture as a last resort. This man wanted to believe, but he was not there yet. So he said, okay, I agree. Please help me believe. Ah, it's fantastic. It's fantastic. Jesus, that touched Jesus' heart. When he said, I really don't have it in me to believe, but please help me to believe. Look how we can pray here. Man, look at the freedom in this thing. There's nothing, there's no sin about not being up to the task. Because we can say to Jesus, please help my unbelief. If we believe, he can help my unbelief.
Amen. Yeah.
Fantastic. Just absolutely fantastic. Verse 25, when Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the unclean spirit. Now, what was making this kid sick? Well, it's probably something he inherited.
No.
Liar. It was an unclean spirit. Well, it was probably a tumor. Liar. It was an unclean spirit. Come on, let's call it what it is. He rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, deaf and dumb spirit, I command you, come out of him and enter him no more. Now we have a way to pray. Looks, I don't care what you call it. It's unclean. I'm telling you, unclean spirit, you come out. And don't you just come out. You don't ever come back.
Amen.
Now we have a formula of how we're to pray. But we can't pray that unless we believe. Then the spirit cried out, whoa! Now we know why we say, Satan, get behind me. Because the spirit can cry out. Oh, you're not hearing me. Those things that are threatening you are spirits crying out to you.
Yeah.
And there's a spirit within you that wants to talk back.
Yeah.
This is good.
Yeah.
I'm getting a lot out of this.
Yeah.
Then the spirit cried out, convulsed him greatly, and came out of him. One more punch. On the way out. And he became one as one dead. Now we dial 911 now that he's dead. We didn't believe. If we touched that 911, we didn't believe Jesus just healed him. And he became one as dead, so that many said, he is dead. I mean, it was so real, many said, he is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand, lifted him up.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Who lifted him up? It wasn't the boy got up.
Hallelujah.
That he arose means Jesus picked him up.
Yes.
What does that mean? The work. Jesus himself was showing us sometime you got to pick up that dead thing yourself. Pick it up.
Yes.
Do you really believe?
Amen.
Taylor Osmond's wife died. And he laid on her body for 3 days until she rose again. He never gave up. There was no spirit of quit in him. He told God, he said, I want her back. I'm not through, and she's not through helping me. Act like he was arguing with God. He was arguing with himself. It's a mind situation. You've got to believe.
Yeah,
and he got her back.
Amen.
Was she dead? Yes, she was dead. No, she wasn't. He decided he wasn't going to let it happen. Well, Stan, is that what you were? I'm not recommending nothing to you. I'm telling you, you believe what God puts in you. He can tell you to pray that nobody dies. He can pray to tell you to walk away.
Yeah.
He can tell you. Walk away, Stan. He did that with Ron's wife. I've told you this before. We got a call. Ron, Maxine's in the hospital. And, of course, it was 2 in the morning. I remember that. And we both raised up. We knew what we was going to do. We were going to get our clothes on. Don't gripe that you're inferior. I got to have this 8 hours sleep. Full of baloney. Nobody has to have 8 hours of sleep. Nobody. I don't have to have any sleep if God's in the restoration business.
Amen.
I can do His will all the time. Quit trying to make your problems and your belief systems interfere with what God wants you to do. We both raised up. Begin to start praying. Right there. You got to pray before you go anywhere. And I remember God spoke to me and said, never mind. And I told her, never mind, Connie. What do you mean, never mind? I said, what does never mind mean to you? She's going to die. What did we do? We're people where our obligation is to increase faith, not to raise people from the dead. So we jumped in, we were in Taiwan. We run down to the hospital and got there. And when we walked in that room, you remember what I said? I remember. Walked over there. The first thing we did, the chart was beginning to flatline. The oxygen level was going down. All the blood pressure was not right. The heartbeat was not right. And I think you're the one that just leaned over her and started whispering scripture into her ear. And that dumb machine straightened out. And she was about dead, and she woke up. And when she woke up, I took her by the hand, and I said, Maxine, God tells me that there's some things you've got to take care of. Now, she's on her deathbed. I don't know if she knew that or not, but I did. I'd already been told. So I'm telling her, you've got to take care of some things before you die. I didn't use the word before you die. I said, God tells me there's some things you need to take care of. You know what that woman did? That's a crazy... She'd already found out her husband was cheating on her. Remember? And I don't list the names of whoever was in there, but everybody was in there had done her wrong except us. Guess what she did? She looked at her husband and said, Ron, you're the best husband in the entire world. The man that caused her to be in that hospital was killing her from cheating on her. Killed her from his cheating. That's the doctor said some people just need a reason to live. Looked at him and said, you're the best husband in the world. Went around and told everybody in that room, and she had something against everybody. Had a right to, but she didn't have a right to not forgive.
Yes.
She said, you're the best, you're the best. Whatever she needed to say, she said it all the way around the room. And 1 hour later, she was dead. Now that's God. Are you doing what God's asking you to do so that somebody else can be saved? I firmly believe if we hadn't obeyed, she would have gone to hell from unforgiveness. Nobody would ever think that about Maxine. But I didn't think about it. God told me, tell her, you got some things you need to take care of. I don't know what I was saying, but she did. You got to expect signs and wonders to follow. Or you're not worth anything. You're not helping anybody. You're not standing in the gap. You're not interceding when you don't even know what to do. God's good.
Yeah. Amen.
I will give you one other example. I hadn't thought about this before. It was Ron Green, the guy that cheated on his own wife. Called me up before this time. Called me up one time and said, oh, so-and-so's woman is, and I didn't know her, but she's got this, well, I don't even know what the disease was. And she's had this 3 or 4 times before, and every time she's healed. Do you want to go pray for her? Well, sure. You bet. Let's go. And when I walked into the house, I heard the same thing. Never mind. Okay, what do we do? Am I there to raise her up or build faith? Without faith, it is impossible to please God. You don't have to raise the dead to please God, but you have to raise the faith.
Yes.
If whatever you're talking about, whatever you're doing is not lifting faith, you're not pleasing God. I don't care if it hurts somebody's feelings. I don't care nothing about it. So what did you do, Stan? I went in there and sat in that room with family and her, and I preached healing like you never heard. I socked them with every scripture I could remember. All about being healed. Walked out of there that night, went home and said, God, what did I just do? You told me she was going to die and I preached to be healed. He said, you built faith. And now, why do you think I believe like I believe? Because there was a war there that I had to go through to learn something. I'm not in charge of life and death. I'm in charge of healing. There's no health without healing. That's the same word. One's tied spiritually. I learned a great thing. She died. I was not discouraged. You know that people that believe don't get discouraged?
Right.
If you're discouraged anyway, you're not believing right. There are another kind of people that won't believe at all. You do know that, don't you? They'll get mad at people that teach faith. In Mark chapter 16, verse 9 through 15. Now listen to this. Now when he rose early on the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary, out of whom he had cast 7 demons. She went and told those who had been with him as they mourned and they wept. See, they're not believing Jesus rose. They believe he's dead. Did you know that if you believe death, they're dead. You believe life, they're alive. Anything about your life. Mary saw him and went and told them that he's alive, and they said, and when they had heard that he was alive and had been seen by her, they did not believe. Let's don't ever. When somebody's testifying to you something, don't you ever say, I don't believe. Amen. Don't you be so goofy. After that, he appeared in another form to 2 of them as they walked and went into the country. And they went and told it to the rest, but they did not believe them either. Now we've got the mouth of 2 witnesses and there's still no belief. Now what is not believing? It's hardness of heart.
Yes.
Verse 14, later he appeared to the 11 as they sat at the table, and he rebuked their unbelief and hardness of heart because they did not believe those that had seen him after he had risen. Now I don't ever want to be a hard-hearted outfit. I have been. In my times past, I was a hard-hearted outfit. I didn't believe nothing you said or anybody else. And I got to say, it was probably good because that's what brought me from what I had been taught into what I believe now. I just wanted the whole world to be quiet, the church included, so that I could hear from God. So if that's where you are, that's fine. Don't stay there. Start believing in people. Start believing their testimonies. You're better off believing a lying testimony than not believing a true one. Be cautious. And of course the 15th verse says, and he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. What does that mean? That means the hardness of heart did not negate a Christianity. So what are you saying, Stan? I'm telling you that don't miss out on all the good things just because you want to be a cool Christian. Just go ahead and go hook, line, and sinker. Right? This is how easy God made it. Luke chapter 8, verse 49, 50. This is how easy God made it for you and I. While he was still speaking, someone came to the ruler of the synagogue's house saying to him, your daughter is dead. Don't trouble him. It's too late. The next verse, verse 50. But when Jesus heard it, this is how easy it is, he answered him saying, do not be afraid, only believe, and she will be made well. Now, to anybody in here, whatever your problem is, I don't care what you think it is, there's nothing bigger than death.
That's right.
And if I say to you, don't be afraid, just believe and it'll all be made well. Are you going to believe or not believe? Are you going to be hard-hearted? Are you going to be soft-hearted and let God touch you? Come on. We're getting down to real nitty-gritty stuff now. You know what the devil's telling you, Bill? You ain't going to get no job. You don't know squat. You can't do nothing. Jesus is saying, don't believe. I mean, don't worry. Don't be afraid. You only believe, and everything will be cool. But you don't know my finances. Don't be afraid. Only believe. It'll be made well. Well, you don't know how many wrong things I've done. You don't know how bad I've been. Don't be afraid. Only believe. Believe what? Believe what Jesus did right here and right there.
Yes.
Just believe that he loved me before I did the things, knowing what I was going to do.
Amen.
And nobody that's done something bigger than what Jesus took care of.
Amen.
And don't be goofy enough to listen to it. Just say, get behind me, Satan. Sometimes it would be good for you to say, that's right, Stan. You need to hear it. True believers will believe nothing but what God says.
Amen.
That's right.
Believing is not based on good feelings. You understand that one? Luke chapter 24, verse 38 through 43. We got a little ways to go and we're going to do it. And he said to them, why are you troubled? And why do doubts arise in your hearts? Okay, I'm going to say it to everybody in here right now. Right now. This is Jesus talking to you. Why are you troubled? Why do doubts arise in your hearts? Verse 39. Look at my hands and feet. That it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have. Verse 40. When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. 41. But while they still did not believe for joy. Wow. Are you telling me that joy can get in the way of belief? No, I'm telling you the scripture says that. How often do I party hard, Bill? Have you ever seen me party hard? Has anybody in here ever seen me party hard? You've seen me full of joy, right?
Yes, absolutely.
But nothing that's not controllable. I don't believe much in getting out of control. Larry Lockhart asked me one time, he said, well, I'm looking so forward to when the church gets so excited that we do the choo-choo train all around the auditorium. I said, me too. That'd be great, but I'm not going to be there. He said, why? You too good? I said, no, I'm going to be the watchman on the wall. When do you think the devil's going to attack? When you're alert or when you're partying?
Amen.
Come on.
Amen.
Remember the 1% was selected in Gideon's army? Who were they?
The ones who were vigilant, always watching.
So even when they ate or drank, their weapons were in their hands.
They were never lost sight of what was going on.
And God says, those are the people I'm going to use. 1% of the entire community that claimed that they were serving God. Read the story with a new light, with a new view. But while they still did not believe because they were so excited that Jesus was raised from the dead and marveled, he said to them, have you any food here? Have you any food? While you're so happy that I'm alive, I'm hungry. That does sound like me. Never mind. So they gave him a piece of broiled fish and some honeycomb, and he took it and ate it in their presence. Why? God does things to make sure you stay real. If you are important, you can't believe. You know what I mean by that? I'll say it one more time, then we'll read the scripture. If you are important, you cannot believe. John chapter 5, 44. Tell me when it's there.
Yeah.
How can you believe? How can you believe who receive honor from one another and do not seek the honor that comes only from God? What we're hearing from this scripture that says, if I'm somebody, you know who I am? Then I'm not really believing. If I'm one that says, oh, you're so great, Bill. You're so great. You're so great all the time. I can't believe. We're receiving honor from one another. The only honor that's going to cause me to believe is when I see this man honored by God.
Yes.
That's what the scripture is saying. When God honors you, when God honors me, it creates a belief system. It enlarges your belief system and mine, of course. You know good and well that when I first took this church, I didn't even want to be called pastor. I did not want that title. I didn't want you calling me that because it enlarged my head, which I read later causes me not to believe. Or better way to say it is I believe in me. Now, I got over that. That was some of my religious beliefs. I don't have to be at the big head because somebody calls me pastor. If you call me pastor, then I'm obligated to be the pastor.
Yes.
That's all I'm doing. You just obligated me to take care of you. Now I have to lead you to green grass and still waters. Here's the belief system we have to base. This is what we base our belief system on, or how we maintain it. I don't care what you think. I want to please God. If I can say that to you and you and you and you and you, then I can believe. I've shared this, but when we went down there and God told us to go into that church, one of the first meetings we had with the praise and worship team, I don't know what caused that pastor to say that, but he said, I want you all to know one thing. You only have to please one person around here, and that's me. That's what he said. He just said it to the wrong guy. I didn't embarrass him in the public there. I waited till we were alone and I said, let me tell you something. We're going to get this squared out right here, right now. God put me here and I don't have to please you.
That's right.
And I won't. I said, the minute I find myself trying to please you, I'm gone.
Amen.
And he just went, nobody's ever talked to me that way before. Our introduction is now complete. I said, and by the way, it's too late for you to change your mind. You introduced the whole crowd that God sent me here. If Jesus is your only source, is if he's your only insurance, he's your only assurance, you'll make it. Is there something wrong with insurance? No. Yes. Depends on how you value it. You know, from a fiduciary responsibility, I carry some insurance on properties that the trust owns because that's a legal responsibility of mine. I could be sued if I didn't do that. So we're in a game. We're in a game. We're in the world but not of the world. Do you have car insurance? Yes. Why? The law requires it. I don't need it. I always know, we always pray when we take off. This is the safest car in the entire world. Everybody around me is safe because of what we just prayed.
Right.
So you don't need insurance. I don't need it. But I'm obeying the law. I'm not expecting to have to collect on it. My dad one time said, and he didn't learn anything, but he said this. He said, Stan, when I was a teenager, I remember this. He said, Stan, every time I buy insurance, I have to use it. And if I don't buy it, I don't need it.
Amen.
Are we that smart? Stan, you better get some life insurance. You think that's going to give me life?
No.
No, but you, when you die, you can provide for your wife. You don't think God can provide for her? What are you telling me? Well, you need, somebody's got to pay for that $10,000 funeral. Really? I've told her many a time. I'll tell you, I got a skid steer loaded with a hydraulic auger on it, 30 inches wide. Go out to the base of one of those trees that I love. You dig a hole straight down and you put me down, not head first. And just cover me over. Don't even tell anybody. Just put me there. I don't give a flip about a funeral. I'm dead. I'm with God and I can't even see you put me in the hole. Well, you're not supposed to make any preparations? Okay, we have four funeral plots that we inherited. I'm taken care of. God didn't even make me bleed for that one. Well, they're not in the best. No, they're not in the best place at all. I don't care. I don't care. I'm not there.
Amen.
When my dad died, my mom said, I don't want you to send me back to Texas. We want to be buried here. I don't want him. I thought it was just cost, so I called and made arrangements. Was going to drive down, pick him up off an airplane, haul him in the back of my truck. I found out it's legal. I had to do it. And she said, nope, we're not going. Well, how in the world am I going to pay for plots here? They didn't make any preparations, and now they're my trouble. Guess what happened? Mr. Bill France walks up and says, I got extra plots. My sister and I will never use it. I'll give him some praise. Buy them from me. Okay, we'll do that. And then as I got quiet, God said, that's not the best deal for him. And so I went back to him and I said, Bill, you're going to come out a whole lot better if you just give them. You just give them to the church, and the church will give them to mom and dad. Why'd you do that? Taxes, guys. We're in the world. We're not of the world.
Amen.
And so Bill, evidently, he went and asked somebody. I don't know. He said, you know what? You're right. I'll give them to the church. Does God provide?
Yes.
Could we have done it another way? Yes. But Bill got blessed. He could put a price on there that he wanted to and write it off. By the way, Bill, did you know that when I went to Texas, the preparations that my mom and dad had made for burial, I sold for $30,000? So you got blessed. I got blessed. Well, Stan, you didn't keep the mausoleum crypt? No, I don't need to worry about my death. God's got it. He's worried for me. Cast all your cares. You got a bad case of the don't care, Stan. Yeah. Yeah, I do. John 10:26. I'm nearly there. John 10:26 through 30. But you do not believe because you are not of my sheep. As I said to you, young man, did you hear what that scripture said? I'm going to read it again just for you. But you do not believe because you are not my sheep. Always reverse scripture. It'll help you understand. So the reverse this, it says, you are not my sheep if you don't believe. Now, old men, if you're not working at believing, you're not his sheep. That's Jesus talking, not me. Verse 27, my sheep hear my voice when I say believe, and I know them, and they follow me. Verse 28, and I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Are you worrying about perishing? I'm always fascinated with one thing. The younger a person is, the less they worry about perishing. And the older people are, the more they worry about perishing. Well, that's sin, Stan. No, it isn't. This man's a good 50, 60, 70 years away from meeting Jesus. I'm talking about eternally. These people over here are not that far away. I don't care if it's another 50 or 60 years. What do they have to worry about? The truth of the matter is, math is, that the closer, the older we get, the closer we get to being with Jesus. Amen. What is the worry? I've even caught myself a couple times saying, you know, I'm ready to go. It'd be fun. And God says, okay, I'm not ready to go. Forget what I said. Nevertheless, not my will but thine be done.
That's right.
Yeah. By the way, you're not in charge of when you go, and you're not in charge of when you go. It's all up to God anyway.
Yes. Right.
So just trust. Verse 29. My Father who has given them to me. Have you been given to Jesus? Is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. And I and my Father are one. Now I have assurance. I have insurance. As long as I believe that what I just read is true. He's my only hope of eternal life. He's my all. John chapter 11, verse 25 through 26. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection. I am the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. That's just too simple. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? Then you shouldn't be worrying about dying. Because your Jesus, your word, told you you will never die. Let me explain something to you. A sinner that dies, dies. He goes to the grave. He's got to be resurrected to show up for judgment. A person that believes will never die. That's what the scripture said, right?
Yeah.
Will he show up for judgment? He doesn't have to. Now you listen to me. You don't have to show up for judgment if you've already been judged. Well, how do I know I've been judged? You didn't die. You went straight to heaven. You don't even feel what death feels like. The sinner has to not only feel what death feels like, but stay there forever. You enter into eternity here.
Yes.
Right now.
Yes. Amen.
By your belief system. Is what?
Trophy table.
Right. And that's not real judgment. That's just bonuses. You're looking at somebody that's already in heaven. Come on. That's exciting.
Amen.
I'm looking at people that are already in heaven. And signs will follow. What signs? I will act like I'm in heaven. We heard somebody preaching this morning. And they were telling us about how marriage is, it has a lot of rough spots and you've got to believe through it and you can't quit. And I'm looking at a wife that we don't have rough spots. I'm already in heaven. Come on. She can't figure out to this day why she's more desirable to me than the day we got married. Right now, she's more desirable to me. She don't think I'm ever going to play out, even if she's praying that I do. It's not going to happen. I'm putting words in her mouth. We don't have to have problems. I said earlier, and I'm going to say it again. When a problem comes up, what you're looking at is a victory. How do you see it? Oh, it's another game. I win. I'm going to improve. I'm going to mature. I'm going to come out better. What was meant for bad, God turns to good.
That's right.
So that means even the devil's working for God. When he convulsed that boy, Dad says, that's terrible. God says, you're working for me. God's talking to the demons, the devil. You're working for me because what I'm going to do is get glory out of this.
Amen.
Watch this. Get up from there. And everybody's going, I can't believe this. Oh, there's your problem. You got to believe this. Come on. John 12, verses 46-48. Always remember this. Remember this. It isn't enough to say I believe in God, because so does the devil. The devil believes in God more than you do. And he ain't going to make it. Oh, he's going to make it to hell. These signs shall follow those that believe. What signs? Signs that you believe. Now, is there any signs that the devil believes?
Yeah.
What are they?
He convulsed.
He attacks. That's right. If he didn't believe in God, he wouldn't be attacking anybody. He'd know he's already won the battle. So the very sign of the devil believing is an attack on you. Now, what is the sign that you must exhibit? The attack comes. You believe in the attack, or the devil, or the healer, the deliverer. Which one? And what is the sign? I believe that there's no attack here. Well, I'm not saying there's not an attack. I'm saying I don't believe in the attack. I believe in the victory.
Amen. Yes.
Lord delivered me from the attack.
In his name.
Yes.
The deliverer. Uh-huh. I'm believing in the victory, not the attacker or the attack. I put no faith that this attack can accomplish what it wants to accomplish.
Right.
I was just told that I can't die, so the worst attack in the world cannot kill me. I have to have that belief because of what I saw, because of what I saw, because of who I know.
Yes.
The size of the attack does not affect my belief system. Mm-hmm. One of the biggest belief systems that I ever taught my kids, and it was kind of an accident, but I remember one day Jason woke up as a young man, boy. And he had warts all over his hands. And he said, Dad. And I looked at those. I couldn't believe the warts that I saw. And I said, come here, Jason. Come here, Desiree. Come here, let's pray. Grabbed his hands and said, we believe in Jesus. We believe in the devil. We believe these warts are of the devil. He gave them. So what we're going to believe, if these warts get off of him and go back onto the nose of the devil. And because I colored a childlike picture, those warts left his hands quickly. And now when they pray, they believe in the warts on the nose. They're still manifesting that. I heard one of them pray that with their kids the other day. Unless we come as a little child, we'll never understand the things of the kingdom. Come on. John 12 Verse 46, I have come as a light into the world, that whoever believes in me should not abide in darkness. So when we see here that believing in is, we have a linguistic problem. We're not talking about the same believe in. The devil believes in God and he abides in darkness. So we're talking about somebody, something a lot bigger than just believing he exists.
Yeah.
Verse 47, if anyone hears my words and does not believe, I do not judge him, for I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world. Last verse. He who rejects me, he who does not believe in me and does not receive my words, has that which judges him, the word that I have spoken, will judge him in the last day. Y'all got any grip on this one? Let me just make it real simple. I don't have to judge you. You judged yourself. Because my law is always in effect. And if you don't believe me, you're forced to believe something else. And you don't have a choice. Choose you this day, life or death, blessings or curses. Oh, this is good. I can listen to this one again. Listen to what I'm saying. If you don't believe Jesus and you don't believe in his words, by his stripes you are healed. that you're forgiven totally for things that you knew about and things you don't even know about. You're forgiven. If you don't believe that, then you're going to be forced to believe that you're not forgiven, you're not healed, you're not provided for. Well, I don't believe that. I don't care what you believe. The Scripture just said. And I won't say anything but what the Scripture says. Where do you stand this day? Your belief will cause you to act.
That's right.
Yeah. I'm believing it's time to head home. So what will happen is I'll pack and leave in the morning. Unless he intervenes in some way. That's the case. What you believe, Bill, or you believe there's a job out there for you?
Absolutely.
Well, that means you're looking for it and you're going to get it. Your belief will cause you to act. Will cause you to speak. So anybody that hangs around you will understand what you're believing. Yeah. It will be evident. I want my action to reveal my faith in God. For good and for God's pleasure. You know, I make God happy when I believe. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Okay, let's reverse it. With faith, I please God. Let me ask you a real question that I don't expect you to answer. But I'm going to ask you anyway. Would you encourage me to believe like you do? Or do better? Well, then you convicted yourself. Now you need to pray to God what we read in the prayer. Lord, help my...
Yes. Yes.
Is there enough evidence in your life to convince you or convict you of being Christ-like? The way you treat others? Whether you're careful about what you say or not? Do you build faith or do you build confidence in man? Your future is not based on what you build by yourself, but what you believe in. Now, here's a statement that knocks me down, too. What we insure, what we buy insurance to cover, is what our faith does not cover. Come on, look at our lives. Look at our payment schedules. What we buy insurance to cover is what our faith does not cover. Where your treasure is, your heart is. What are you working for, God or mammon? Grace is not the freedom to do what you want. It's the freedom and power to live a full, holy, righteous life. Grace is not for your forgiveness. Grace is for your deliverance.
Yes.
It's, I'm not going to kill you today. I'm going to give you another chance. And I'm going to give you the ability to overcome. That's what grace is. Remember, it's not grace, it's not mercy that sets men free, it's the truth.
That's right.
So I'd rather have you truthful than gracious. Now, I'm not going to ask you if your hearts are clear today. I fully expect you to be convicted in some areas.
Yes.
But I will ask you if you believe that your sins are forgiven.
Yes.
And I will ask you if you believe in what Jesus did for you.
Yes.
And I've told the men in charge here that every Sunday, every Wednesday, I want you brought back to this place right here. Do you believe that Jesus paid your price? Focus on the cross, on what was done before the cross, at the cross, and after the cross. Do you believe that happened? Do you believe he had a purpose? And are you applying that belief system in your life? Absolutely no hope, unless you believe in Obama. Well, I would say believe in men. I don't believe in Obama, and I don't believe in Trump. I don't believe in men. But God does. And the only thing I can do is try to see men through God's eyes. But it's our goal. It's, if I have the mind of Christ, then I need the mind of Christ about you. Right? Therefore, I have to come to some kind of understanding that no, and Gene, I don't care if you think you're the world's worst person. That's not, you're not going to convince me to look at you that way. You don't believe me when I told you how often you enter into my mind about this church. When I think of this church, you're there. You're an important part of this church. God says so, not me. God says so. And he tells you over and over and over how important you are. And you say, no, I'm not, no, I'm not, no, I'm not. And you need to stop that. That's a lie against the truth. You need to receive the truth. And you believe in what I just described to you about before God, before you ever committed your first sin, God had already forgiven you. And so why are you remembering it? He doesn't. I've said this to you before, and I will always say this to you and you and you and everybody else. Why are you bringing up sins that you, as far as God's concerned, never committed? He has a better way. You believe in him and you believe in you. Do you know that? Here's one of the signs that follow those that believe. They believe in themselves. Why? Because they're in Christ and Christ is in them. And they have confidence in what Christ can do through them.
Amen.
Gene starts playing this morning. And my mind goes straight to her playing. See, your playing is anointed.
Yes.
And nobody should be able to sit in this house and listen to you play and not get a feeling.
Amen.
You sent me a CD of piano playing. It's right there. I listen to it often. Why? Because I don't know it's anointed. When you do things in this church, you move this church. And when you're not here to move it, God's will is not being done. And that's everybody in here.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's right.
You're not without calling. You're without understanding. You need to be peaceful. You need. Let me tell you something. Here's what you need. You need to quit trying to find proof of your calling. You need to accept it. I am who I am. I am exactly who God made me. Don't defend. Good.
I don't need to defend.
Then we won't ever see a defense mechanism from you again, right? Because you're accepted and you're loved and you're called and God has a plan. And all you have to do is follow his plan. That's it. And when I look at you, I have to understand that no matter what I think I see, I know the truth. And Art, he's crazy. And I see something in him because God sees something in him. And is he crazy? Well, so am I. So what? That just means I'm chosen. Hey, look, how many churches was Jesus thrown out of? How many people loved Jesus? Come on, be honest. The people that proclaimed they loved the will of God hung him on the cross.
Yes, that's right.
And they said, we're good Christians. They were deceived.
Yeah.
The truth came and they refused the truth.
Yeah.
They were looking for the Messiah and the Messiah came and they hung him on the cross. Listen to me carefully. And they looked at him and went, let your blood be on us and our children and our children's children. And it has been ever since. And we need to quit. We need to get out of the judgment business and just say, there's the truth and that's why you are who you are and that's why you're treated. And you're not going to be any other way until you say, I accept Jesus as the Messiah. And there's one other thing that I'm going to say publicly, openly, honestly. No one gets to heaven without Jesus. No one gets to the Father except through the Son. And I'll not support any other ministry. I'll not have anything to do but that truth and that truth alone. I will say to you, if you want to go to hell, that's your choice because that's what Jesus says. But if you will believe me, Jesus says, you'll never see death. That's our ministry to the Jews. That's my offering to the Jews. That's my gift to the Jews, the truth. And if you won't accept it, I hope you enjoy heat. Oh, you're too harsh, Dan. No, sir. No, sir. I saw Jesus, guys. I saw what he did. And I'm not going to let you believe anything but that and that alone. If I have a breath in me, I'm going to tell you about that because it's the only way that you can be saved, the only way that you'll have eternal life. I pass that on to you. Does that mean I be mean to them? No way. No way. Mm-mm. God loved the whole world. For God so loved the whole world that he gave his only begotten Son. Not just to the Jews. I don't just love the Jews. I don't just love the Gentiles. I don't just love the heathen. He gave it to the whole world, knowing that most of the world will reject him. Are you right? Are you right in your belief system, Bill?
Yes.
You believe that. You have faith in that.
Absolutely.
Then there's no failure.
Amen.
Right, Gene?
Amen.
And there's nobody that can make you mad enough to leave him. There's nobody that can come between you and God if you're believing what we've just read today. Nobody. No man can pluck you out of God's hand. No woman. No solution. No situation. No end of times prophecy. Nothing can pluck me out of the safety of God's hand. Nothing. Listen to me. If I think that my testimony is going to get my head cut off because of some anti-Christian movement, do I have a promise about death?
Yes.
What?
To be absent from the body.
I'll never see it. It doesn't mean I won't die. I won't see it.
Amen.
So what's there to fear? Most of us walk around fearing ghost, which we can't see. We don't want to go through a dark graveyard because we're afraid of something we don't see. Why do we fear anything that we don't see? God is true. God is good. His word is true. His word is good.
Yes.
It was all for me.
Amen.
For his glory.
Amen.
All for me. For his glory. Did he whip the devil? Come on.
Yes.
Did he whip the devil? So I'm living here. This is where I'm at. I know what Jesus, how and what he did to the devil for me. I believe that. I believe the situation that Jesus accomplished right here was against the devil and for me. Y'all stand. Anybody need prayer? I believe laying on of hands does something. Anybody need that?
Let's just pray right now. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for what's been accomplished. We know it's been accomplished. And right now, Lord, we just take this time in this fellowship and we ask you, Lord, to continue to be in our presence. Fellowship with us, Lord, as we fellowship with one another. We sanctify the food by your word in this prayer in Jesus' name. And we thank you for the opportunity to be with our brothers and sisters, your body, Lord. And we just give you praise and thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen.